Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Udanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Muna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Yari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Madhava Kunja Bihari Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Nam Sankirtan ki, Prabhupad ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. Hare Krishna, welcome to today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 7, Text Number 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Saulakshyanair Brahma Bahili Saulakyanair Brahma Balir Modasa Pippalayani Modasa Pippalayani Vedadarsha Shishaste Vedadarshasya Shishaste Patya Shishan Ato Shrunu Patya Shishan Ato Shrunu Kumuda Shaunako Brahman Kumuda Shunako Brahman Jajalis Chapi Atarvavet Jajalis Chapi Atarvavit
Sauklanyir Brahma Balir Mo Madosa Pippalayana Veda Darsha Shishaste Patya Shishan Ato Shrunu Kumuda Shunako Brahman Jajalis Chapi Atarvavit Shauklayanir Brahma Balir Modasha Pippalayani Veda Darshasya Shishase Patya Shishanato Shrunu Kumudashunako Brahman Jajalis Chapi Atarvavit Shauklayanir Brahma Bali Modosha Pippalayani Veda Darshasya Chishaste Patya Shishanato Shrunu Kumudashunako Brahman Jajalis Chapi Atarvavit Shauklayanir Brahma Balir Modosha Pippalayani Veda Darshasya Shishaste Patya Shishan Ato Shrunu Kumudashunako Brahman Jajalis Chapi Atarvavit Word to word meaning, Shauklayanir Brahma Balir. Shauklayani and Brahma Bali. Modosha Pippalayani. Modosha and Pippalayani. Veda Darshasya. Of Veda Darsha. Shishya. The disciples. Te. They. Patya Shishyan. The disciples of Patya. Atho. Furthermore. Shrunu. Please hear. Kumuda Shunaka. Kumuda and Shunaka. Brahman. O Brahmana Shaunaka. O Brahmana Shaunaka. Jajali. Jajali. Cha. And. Api. Also. Atharvavit, full of knowledge of the Atharva Veda. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation, Shauklayani, Brahmabali, Modosa and Pippalayani were disciples of Veda Darsha. Hear from me also the names of disciples of Patya. My dear Brahmana, they are Kumuda, Shunaka and Jajali. All of whom knew the Atharva Veda very well. Purport. According to Srila Sridhara Swami, Veda Darsha divided his edition of the Atharva Veda into four parts and instructed them to his four disciples. Patya divided his edition into three parts and instructed it to three disciples mentioned here. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam పరిజనా సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగనా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ నమా ఓం విష్ణు పాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీ దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రధాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరత్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగి అదే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానోస్తుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంచాకల్పాతరుభ్యస్య కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాదార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ వెల్కమ్ టు ఆల్ ఫర్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్లాస్ టుడే దిస్ గ్రేస్ కృష్ణచంద్ర ప్రభు ఈజ్ సపోజ్ టు స్పీక్ సిన్స్ ప్రభుజీ ఈజ్ బిజీ సో ఐ వాజ్ ఆర్డర్డ్ బై హిస్ గ్రేస్ రుద్రనాథ్ ప్రభు సో జస్ట్ టు యాక్సెప్ట్ హిస్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్ ఐఎమ్ హియర్ సో ఐ రిక్వెస్ట్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ ప్రేయర్స్ అండ్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ అట్ ద వెరీ బిగినింగ్ టు రెండర్ స్మాల్ సర్వీస్ ఇన్ ఇన్సిగ్నిఫికెంట్ వే talking about this verse and things connected to this verse. So here we are studying Srimad Bhagavatam 12th canto chapter 7. So in yesterday's verse it is mentioned that Sudha Goswami is saying, O Shaunaka Rishi, the authority of Atharva Veda taught his Samhita to his disciple Kabanda, who in turn spoke it to Padya and వేదదర్శ పత్య అండ్ వేదదర్శ సో సుమంతు ఇస్ ద అథారిటీ ఆఫ్ అథర్వ వేద ఈజ్ ద డిసైపుల్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీల వ్యాసదేవ్ వ్యాసదేవ్ టాట్ అథర్వ వేద టు సుమంతు అండ్ సుమంతు టాట్ ఇట్ టు కదంబ కదంబ టాట్ ఇట్ టు ఈజ్ టూ డిసైపుల్స్ పత్య అండ్ వేదదర్శ అండ్ ఇన్ టర్న్ వేదదర్శ హ్యాడ్ ఫోర్ డిసైపుల్స్ ఈ డివైడెడ్ ఈ సెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ అథర్వ వేద టు ఫోర్ డివిజన్స్ అండ్ గేవ్ దెమ్ టు ఈస్ ఫోర్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ డిసైపుల్స్ known as Shauklayani, Brahmabali, Modosha and Pippalayani. And similarly, the second disciple of Kabanda, known as Patya, divided each section of Atharva Veda into three divisions and spoke them to his three disciples or gave the responsibility to his three disciples, Kumuda, Shaunaka and Jajali. So like that, the future verses also will continue to describe about their further disciples and further disciples, etc., etc. So this is what is mentioned in relation to the verse that is there for today's class. So we have list of names. So in the last many classes we were hearing so many names, different set of disciples, grand disciples, great grand disciples of the disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, who were the authorities of all these different Vedas and their sections and subsections, and they themselves teaching them to their next generations, etc., etc. So, just to appreciate what we are discussing, we'll try to glance through the context in which these things are being spoken. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, as it is mentioned by Srila Haridas Thakur Prabhu yesterday, about 85, it started. It is about 25 years, sir, 95 it started. It is about 25 years now we are reading 12th canto. So, after going through the 11 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, especially hearing through the pastimes of Lord Krishna, in the 10th canto, the most cherishing pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan And then eventually all chivalrous pastimes of Lord Krishna in Madura and Dwaraka and Hastinapur, various places. Then in the 11th canto, comes to the final instructions that Lord Krishna wanted to give through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. They are there in the 11th canto, where either it could be the Samvad of Narada and Vasudeva Samvad, or Sri Krishna and Uddhava Samvad in the 11th canto. And now, Srila Sukadeva Goswami is kind of concluding his narration of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 12th canto. It is almost 7 days are about to complete. The time period allocated for Parikshit Maharaj is about to end. So, Sukadeva Goswami is also kind of completing. So, after kind of immersing all the devotees in the bliss of Krishna's pastimes in the last two cantos, 10th and 11th, now he wanted to detach those hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, for Sukadeva Goswami, direct hearer is Parikshit Maharaj and all the others who are sitting in that assembly. But in general, everyone, whoever is kind of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam or studying or reading in whatever sense, whatever way. So in order to get them detached from this material world and to retain their attachment to Lord Krishna's spiritual abode. So with this twofold purpose, Sukadeva Goswami narrates the first few chapters of the 12th canto. From the point of view of Parikshit Maharaj, it is simply detachment. From the point of view of all of us, it is also detachment from material world. But from the point of view of the time period at which it is being spoken, it is at the beginning of Kali Yuga. So to speak about the detachment, Parikshit Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami talks about the nature of Kali Yuga, how things will deteriorate very fastly in the Kali Yuga. In the first chapter, he talks about how the kings of Kali Yuga will deteriorate, how they will give up dharma and take shelter of adharma. In the second chapter, he talks about how the people in general in the Kali Yuga will deteriorate or degrade in their ability to practice dharmic principles. How dharma will decline in general society. That is narrated in the second chapter. And then, not only he narrates himself, he also gives the evidence of the words of Mother Earth. Mother Earth also established the same thing. Mother Earth is there eternally. From the beginning of the creation, she will be there till the end of the creation. And she is telling that, I am observing that so many kings are coming and going. They are all claiming that I am the Lord, I am this, I am that. But nothing is permanent here. They come and go. What remains is simply names in the books of history. So, like that. But the person who can be glorified is who utilizes their life, who utilizes their body and the senses in the body for the purpose of eternal liberation. They are worthy of glorification. All others are simply names in the history books. Like that, Mother Earth kind of supports the narration of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. And then in spite of being filled with so many difficulties in this material world, especially in the Kali Yuga, filled with so many faults, filled with so many temptations for degrading very fast, but there is a solution also. Talayad dosha nidhe rajan asti eva mahaguna asti eka mahanugunan kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param vrajet. Even though Kali Yuga is filled with ocean of faults, but if by taking shelter of holy name, one can attain perfection. Just like in the previous ages, people have taken shelter of various other means. Satya Yuga, they might have taken shelter of Dhyana. Treta Yuga, they have taken shelter of Yajna. Dwapar Yuga, they have taken shelter of Paricharya. But Kali Yuga, simply by taking shelter of Harinam, one can attain Kalautad Harikirtanat. One can attain perfection. So like that, in the third chapter, Sukadeva Goswami kind of talks in terms of general principle. And in order to establish the nature of this material world in itself, these first three chapters are in relation to Kali Yuga alone. Only the Kali Yuga which is just started in front of Parikshit Maharaj. And for the time to come, for the readers who are going to read in the future, in order to help all of us understand the true nature of material world, he talks about three kinds of annihilations in the fourth chapter. The Nitya Pralaya, the day-to-day death of the different variety of living entities, and Naimitika Pralaya, the annihilation that takes place at the end of Brahma's day, and Prakritika Pralaya, the final annihilation that takes place at the end of Brahma's lifetime of 100 years. He mentions all these things. Having mentioned all these things, a person of good intelligence should always strive for going back home back to Godhead. And that is called Atyantika Pralaya. Atyantika Pralaya is to get rid of the material entanglement and to cut off one's connection with one's grass body and subtle body and begin one journey back home back to Godhead. That is Atyantika Pralaya. See, kind of present both the contrasting. In the middle world, if one wants to stay, there is constant annihilation. Either it could be in the form of Nitya Pralaya, or it could be Naimitika Pralaya, or it could be Prakriti Pralaya. Instead of staying here and going through all these annihilations and all, better work for going back home back to Godhead. That is Atyantika Pralaya. So like that, Srila Sukadeva Goswami kind of concludes his narration. And at the end of the fourth chapter, he kind of says that if at all a person who actually going through the miseries of this material world, tapatrayena abhita gora, the intolerable miseries of this material world if one is going through, and if at all one wants to get rid of those miseries, and little more on a higher sense, if at all one want to go back home back to Godhead, the only solution or the solution which Sukadeva Goswami is prescribing from the beginning till the end, keeping Parikshit Maharaj as his subject, is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which he says almost at the end of the fourth chapter. He says that samsara sindhum atidustaram utitirshur. For those living entities who want to go beyond this samsara sindhu, the ocean of material existence, and then pumsho bhave divida dukkha bhavarditasya. For those people who are actually getting burnt by the threefold miseries of the material world, if they want to get rid of those miseries, for these two kinds of people, nanya plavo bhagavata purushottamasya. There is no other boat, because since it is ocean, the material world is compared to the ocean if anyone want to cross. The suitable boat is nothing but bhagavata leela kata rasa nishevanam antarena. One should submerge, or one should situate oneself in the boat of Bhagavan's Leela Katha, hearing the pastimes of Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and relishing the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, Rasa Nishevanam. That is the only solution for the people of this material world who are going through Tapatraya and who want to go back home back to Godhead. Having mentioned this, which he actually states at the very beginning of the second canto to Parikshit Maharaj, Pibantiye Bhagavata Prasamrutam Katam, Katamrutam Shravana Putesh Samrutam. There itself he mentioned that one should hear Bhagavat Katha or Bhagavat Leela Katha. So having mentioned that, Sukadeva Goswami next says that in the next last three verses of the fourth chapter, he says that Purana Samhitam Yetam Rushir Narayano Avyaya Naradaya Putra Praha Krishna Dvaipayanaya Sa. Purana Samhitam Etam. Whatever I have been speaking to you for the last 7 days, starting from the second canto, first verse, starting with Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Varya Neshite Prashna, from that verse till this verse, Purana Samhitam Etam. This is Purana Samhita, the essence of all the Puranas. This originally was spoken by Lord Narayana to Brahma in four shlokas, at the beginning of the creation, at the very birth of Lord Brahma. And that Brahma later on spoke the same Bhagavatam to his dear son, Narada Muni. And that Narada Muni eventually spoke the same Bhagavatam to his dearmost disciple, Srila Vasudev. And Sukadeva Goswami next says that, Savai Mayam Maharaja Bhagavan Badarayana Imam Bhagavatim Prita Samhitam Veda Samhitam. That same Bhagavatam which was coming directly from Lord Narayana and then to Brahma, then to Narada, then to Vyasa, my father Vyasa taught me the same Bhagavatam. I have learnt from my father Srila Vyasadeva. Imam Bhagavatam Prita Samhitam Veda Samhitam. This is Prita Samhitam, dearmost Samhita, and which is Veda Samhitam. There are two meanings to Veda Samhitam. One meaning is which explains the very meaning of the Vedas. Other meaning is which is on par with the Vedas. People might say in this world that Shruti, 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 the most important Vedic authority, etc., etc. But Srimad Bhagavatam is on par from the point of view of the general talk. But from the point of view of Vaishnavas, it is above normal understanding of things of this world. So, like that, here Srila Sukadeva Goswami said that I have heard from my father, and that Bhagavatam I am speaking to you. And having mentioned this, in the last verse of the fourth chapter, he says that Imam Vakshati Asau Suta Rishibhyo Naimishalaye Dirga Satre Kurushreshta Samprishta Shaunakadaya. This Suta, pointing his right finger to the personality who was sitting next to him, showing to Suta Goswami, he said that Asau Suta, this Suta Goswami who is sitting here next to us, will speak the same Bhagavatam in the future to the sages of Naimisharanya, being requested by the leader Shaunaka. He will speak in the future the same Bhagavatam. Having said this, kind of Sukadeva Goswami looked into the audience. In the audience there are many people, many kind of people practicing many kind of sadhanas. So till now, from the very beginning, he kind of glorified bhakti, 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 everywhere bhakti, kind of putting karma, jnana, yoga aside. So looking at all people, he thought that I have glorified bhakti too much, so others might feel bad. Or generally the talk of this world is practice karma as long as you are living at home, then take to renunciation and practice jnana, attain moksha. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. They are the four purusharthas. Dharma, artha, kama are pertaining to karma yoga. Moksha is pertaining to jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. Both are kind of together. So general progression, the general understanding in this world is dharma, artha, kama, and eventually practice jnana. By practicing karma, attain dharma, artha, kama, and then by practicing jnana or yoga, attain moksha. Moksha means sahajya mukti. That is general understanding of the people of this world. When it comes to the circle of Vaishnavas, when it comes to the circle of Bhagavatas, then they talk about Sarishti, Salokya, Samipya, Sarupya, and they go ahead further. Dasya, Sakya, Vasalya, Madhurya, etc., etc. But in generally they talk about Shanta, be peaceful, attain moksha, etc., etc. Something like that. So he thought that I don't want to disrupt the general understanding of Vedic literatures. So in order to keep that intact, Sukadeva Goswami in the last chapter, he speaks jnana, the knowledge about atma, the knowledge about attaining liberation by practicing or by taking shelter of jnana. There is two purposes. One is to establish for the others who are sitting in the assembly, who are actually practitioners of karma yoga, jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga, etc., to pacify them, to give them understanding that, okay, Sukadeva Goswami, having after speaking bhakti elaborately for so many chapters, so many cantos, at the end, he concluded by speaking jnana. That means jnana is the ultimate essence. And attaining moksha is the ultimate essence, ultimate goal. That they may think like that, he kind of spoke that. On the other hand, as a relationship between guru and disciple, Sukadeva Goswami wanted to test the steadiness and the understanding of Parikshit Maharaj, whether he really understood from the very beginning whatever I have spoken. Like that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami had tested Parikshit Maharaj 3 times in total. First time, at the end of the 5th canto, having heard about the different variety of punishment that will be offered to the sinful living entities in the hell, Naraka, Parikshit Maharaj expresses his concern. These people are going through so much misery. How they can be delivered? So Sukadeva Goswami immediately says that by performing atonement, Karmakanda ritual, they will be delivered. That is to test whether Parikshit Maharaj, as a devotee, as a personality born in the family of Pandavas, had the correct understanding of the subject matter properly. So when immediately Parikshit Maharaj says that, my dear Guru Maharaj, whatever you have told, that may be okay, but it seems it does not work. Because people may perform atonement, but eventually they may again perform sinful activities. It is like Kunjara Sauchavat. It is like elephant bathing. They may not be able to sustain for a long time. They may atone and then again perform sin. Again they may atone. They will be attached to the process of atonement. It is not going to work properly. Then Sukadeva Goswami presents jnana as a solution. Still Sukadeva Parikshit Maharaj did not say anything, but his facial expression says that he is not satisfied. Then Sukadeva Goswami tells that it is only by bhakti all the sinful desires that are there in the heart will be completely eradicated. So that was the first time the understanding of Parikshit Maharaj is being tested. And the second time, at the end of the 9th canto, having spoken about the lineage of Surya Vamsha and Chandra Vamsha, At the end, Lord Krishna's pastimes, the complete pastimes of Lord Krishna are kind of summarized in 10-15 shlokas. Just to understand whether Parikshit Maharaj is eager to hear more and more or not. Whether he is satisfied, he is bored enough, he want to take rest or something like that. So then immediately Parikshit Maharaj says that, my dear Gurudev, don't worry about my being fasting for the last 4-5 days, whatever it is. I am not hungry, I am not thirsty at all. Please don't go very quickly. Don't give summary. Please speak in detail. So in order to give him a clue, he asked so many questions in the 10th canto, first chapter. I speak about the birth of Krishna, birth of Balramji, and why Balramji went to this place, Balramji went to, transferred to Gokul, and why Krishna went to Gokul, why he did not stay in Madura, and whom Ali married, what are their names, what are the sons, and whom they married, etc. So many past questions he asked. So like that, the 90 plus 31 chapters are being spoken, 10th and 11th cantos. Just for 2-3 questions. So next 2-3 discussion is done. And now at the end, now in order to conclude, whether Parikshit Maharaj really got the sense what I want to present to him, what I want to speak to him, what I want to give him, whether he really understood it or not. In order to give that, he concludes his discussion with Jnana, by speaking Jnana. But in the next chapter, Parikshit Maharaj, 6th chapter at the beginning, the few verses, he kind of acknowledges the endeavor of Sukadeva Goswami, that he stayed there for 7 days. Sukadeva Goswami generally does not stay at the home of householders, not more than the time required to milk the cow. But he stayed here for 7 days. So he kind of expresses his gratitude to Sukadeva Goswami. And then he expresses his gratitude saying that, my dear Lord, you have spoken to me, bhakti, very nicely. But you wanted to play pranks with me by speaking jnana. I am not interested in jnana. I am only interested in attaining shelter at the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Having said that, he requests permission from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, saying that, please give me permission so that I can meditate upon Lord's lotus feet as you have instructed on me at the beginning. So that, let me end my activities in this material world. So Sukadeva Goswami, happily blessing Parikshit Maharaj, leaves from that place. And immediately sitting in proper asana, Parikshit Maharaj kind of meditating on Supreme Personality of Godhead. He gives up his body. It is mentioned in the 10th shloka as Brahma Bhuto Mahayogi Nissanga Chinna Samshaya. Giving up all doubts, giving up all the attachment to this material world, his kingdom, his family, everything. He attained a Brahma Bhuta platform. That means, Acharya has explained that he already went back to Godhead. He already gave up his body. And then Takshaka comes and bites his body. That is like doing final rites. So that all happens. And then, having heard about this, of course, when Parikshit Maharaj died, in the sense we cannot say died, but he went back to Godhead at this point of time, Janmayajaya was very small boy. So he was sent to Gurukul and he was trained, etc., etc. He came back home, he became king. In the meantime, he understood everything. Of course, he heard everything, he knew everything that his father died. He understood that it's a destiny, eventually. So like that, he was ruling for many years. And one day, suddenly one person comes. And he tells, his name is Astika. He already had some trifle with the Takshaka. So he wanted to administer justice unto Takshaka. So he comes and tells to Parikshit Maharaj, Janmayajaya, saying that, you may think that your father's death is as per destiny. Okay, some conflict happened between Parikshit Maharaj and Shamikarushi, and because of which Shungi cursed and etc. Okay. But actually, a person of knowledge has to discriminate what is right, what is not right. This, though that small innocent boy had pronounced a curse without proper knowledge. But what happened to Takshaka? He is a grown up man. He should have good intelligence. You should not have come and bitten your father. This fellow is not a proper guy. You are the king of this world. You should administer punishment upon him. So Janmayajaya started Sarpayagna. Things are going overboard. Because Takshaka went and took shelter of Indra. And Parikshit Maharaj, Janmayajaya became very angry. How can Indra give shelter to him? Call Indra also. So the Brahmanas were calling Indra also. Then things are going out of control. Then Brihaspati and all the other sages, they come and tell, my dear Janmayajaya, don't do this. Enough is enough. Things happen in this world according to the destiny. Don't think that your father is killed by Takshaka. That is destiny. He only kind of bitten or burnt the remnants of your father. Your father already attained perfection. But your father is a Mahabhagavata. For him there is no bonds in relation to death and birth in this material world. His birth itself is happened in the front of Lord Krishna only. Lord Krishna himself protected. He already died. He was protected by Lord Krishna. And now he attained perfection. Don't worry about it. But in general, generally, when death happens by snake bite, that is as per one's karma for the people in general. So like that he gives various other things and various good knowledge, everything he says. Having mentioned all these things, the Yajna is stopped and Suta Goswami kind of he rephrases whatever is being spoken by Brihaspati to all of us, all the hearers of sages of Naimisharanya and to all of us. Having mentioned everything, at the end, this is 6th chapter, verse number 34 and 35, Suta Goswami is kind of concluding his narration of Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya, wherein he says that Ativadam titikshena navamanneta kashchana nachemam deham ashritya vairam kurvita kenachit. When a person with one's good intelligence and good sense faculties, when one understands that purpose of human life is to go back home back to Godhead, having understood that the purpose is to go back home back to Godhead, and also having understood that this body is a suitable means to attain that perfection, while executing sadhana, one should never make enmity with anybody in this world. He says that, na chemam deham ashritya, having accepted the shelter of this body, which is a compulsory means to practice bhakti. Without this body, we cannot execute bhakti. This body is very much required for us. Having taken shelter of this body in order to practice bhakti so that we can go back home back to Godhead, vairam kurvita kenachit, one should never develop enmity with anybody. Of course, in relation to Janmejaya, he says that don't extend it further, for if you extend it further, Indra will become your enemy. Currently only Takshaka, you might think, but actually Takshaka is not your enemy and neither Indra is your enemy. You are necessarily going to create enmity with not only Indra, all the host of devatas will come and fight with you if Indra is about to fall in the fire. So don't go on overboard. And finally he says, Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Krishna Yakunta Medase Yat Padam Buruhat Dhyanat Samhitam Adhyagam Imam. So let me offer my humble and respectable obeisances unto the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Lord Vasudeva, who is Akunta Medase. And then Yat Padam Buruhat Dhyanat, meditating upon his lotus feet, Samhitam Adhyagam Imam, I have learnt this Samhita. This Bhagavata Samhita, I have learnt from Srila Sukadeva Goswami by meditating upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So he kind of ends here. So this is the last verse spoken by Srila Sukadeva Goswami. In one sense, Bhagavatam should have completed here. But here the sages of Naimisharanya, their leader Shaunaka Rishi, he heard that previous in the fourth chapter, Sukadeva Goswami also told that, I have heard this Samhita from my father Vyasadev. And now you are telling that you have learnt this Samhita from your guru, Sukadeva Goswami. So like that, there are so many other Samhitas also. This is not the only Samhita taught by Srila Vyasadev. Okay? We want to understand about other Samhitas. Who are the other disciples of Srila Vyasadev? Because Sukadeva Goswami, as a disciple of Srila Vyasadev, learnt Bhagavata Samhita. And he had many other disciples. They have learnt many other Samhitas. Can you kind of give a brief elaboration of all those things? What are the other Samhitas that are there coming from Srila Vyasadev? That is a question asked by Srila Shaunaka Rishi in the next verse. He says that, Pippaladibir Vyasa Shishir Vedacharya Mahatmabi Vedascha Katita Vyasa Eta Saumyabi Dehina Saumya Abidehina. Oh my dear gentle Suta, can you please tell us, Vyasadev had many other disciples such as Pippala Adibir, and who are disciples of Vyasadev, Vyasishir, and who are also Vedacharya. They are the acharyas of other Vedas. There are so many other sections of the Vedic literature. They are all acharyas and they are also mahatmas, the great personalities, great learned personalities. So Vedascha Kathita Vyasa. So please tell me which portion of the Veda was given to which disciple of Vyasadeva? Just like Vyasadeva gave Bhagavatam to Sukadeva Goswami, what all the other sections of Vedic literature were given to other disciples of Vyasadeva? Can you please kind of enumerate all of them briefly? So with that question in front, Srila Suta Goswami starts the narration. So the purpose is, from the very beginning of Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that Nigama Kalpa Taror Galitam Phalam Shukamukad Ambuta Dava Drava Samitam. All the Vedic literature, if they are considered to be like a tree, the fruit of the tree is Srimad Bhagavatam. So in order to understand the position, or in order to understand the greatness of that fruit, it is better to have some knowledge about the tree also. If you are only knowing about the fruit, and sometimes there is a question comes, Kiska fruit hai? So then we should also understand that what is the tree. So some understanding of the tree also is necessary. So now, Srila Suta Goswami talks about the tree of the Vedic literatures. So in order to explain the tree of the Vedic literature, he also talks about the origin of the tree of the Vedic literature. Because externally and above the surface of the earth, we only see the tree consisting of so many branches, trunk first, then branches, sub-branches, twigs, leaves, flowers. Ultimately, the fruit will be there, which is the most relishable thing of the tree. But there is something beneath the underground, beneath the surface of the earth. That is the root. But that root comes from seed. So now, he starts about the seed. He talks about the seed. From the seed comes the root. From the root comes the tree. From the tree comes the branches. From the branches comes the twigs. From the twigs come the fruit, flowers, and then raw fruits and even the ripened fruits, finally. So that he kind of gives a brief understanding of this entire tree of Vedic literature. So in Suta Goswami talks about in this chapter, the last previous chapter, that was sixth chapter, he says that Samahitatmano Brahman Brahmana Parameshina Hridi Akashad Abunado Vritti Rodad Vibhavyate. He says that, my dear Brahmana, kindly understand. The seed of the tree of the Vedic literature, whose fruit is Srimad Bhagavatam, it has appeared in the core of the heart of Lord Brahma. Within the core of the heart of Lord Brahma, there is ether. In that ether, there appeared a sound that is known as nada. The via medium for the sound to transmit is ether. When the five grass elements are created, actually, first their qualities are created. The first, from Ahankara in the Tamasa portion, that Tamasik Ahankara, first appear the element sound. But when sound appeared, but sound can't stay at one place. It has to go from one place to other place. Then as soon as the sound appears, the via medium for the sound appears. The via medium for the sound is ether. And later on air appears. Sorry, later on touch appears. The via medium for touch is air. Then later on the form appears, the via medium for the form is fire. The later on taste appears, the via medium for taste is water. Later on smell appears, the via medium for the smell is earth. So like that all these appear. So for the sound to exist, for travel, there should be a via medium, that is ether. So it is said that Hrudi Akashad Abun Nado. In the ether, which is situated within the heart of Brahma, there appeared nada, the sound known as, subtle sound known as nada. This nada is the seed of this Vedic tree of Vedic literature. So in the 11th canto, Sri Lord Krishna goes into more details. He talks about four kinds of sounds. Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama and Vaikari. Para, Pashyanti, Madhyama, these are the three subtle states of the sound. The Vaikari is the grass which can be heard from our ear, the physical ear. So this nada can be the combination of, actually it is actually para, we can also include the other two, Pashyanti and Madhyama. So this is the very subtle nature of, subtle form of sound. This appeared in the heart of Brahma. As we hear in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Tene Brahma Hrudaya Adikavaye. The Vedic knowledge has been revealed within the core of the heart of Lord Brahma. So that is being hinted here. How it has come and what has come is Nada. This is called as Nada. And in the next verse he says that, so, Yad upasanaya brahman yogino malam atmana dravya kiya karya kayam dutva yati apunar bhavam dutva yanti malam atmana. The great yogis and great jnanis having taken shelter of this nada, this subtle form of sound vibration, they actually purify the contamination within their heart. Atma malam, dutva. They can kind of purify their atma from all the mala. And then, yati apunar bhavam. They attain transcendental abode. In relation to jnanis and yogis, it could be sahajya mukti. In relation to devotees, it could be Vaikuntha Mukti and higher forms of Mukti. So whatever. So they will take shelter of this Nada and they purify themselves and they go attain perfection. Tato abu trivrut omkaro yo avyakta prabhava swarat yet tallingam bhagavat brahmana bhagavato brahmana paramatmana. He says that tato abu trivrut omkaro. From this Nada there appears threefold omkara mantra, which is also a sound vibration which is still in subtle nature. Trivrut means A, U, M. The Omkara, which is made by three syllables. So that Omkara appears from the Nada. If Nada is the seed, Omkara is the root. So in that way. So what is the root? What is the understanding of this Omkara? Yet, Tal Lingam Bhagavato Brahmana Paramatmana. The Om directly indicates Tal Lingam. Tal means Tat. Lingam means form. The form of Bhagavan. Om indicates Bhagavan for devotees. Om indicates Brahman for jnanis. Om indicates Paramatma for yogis. Whether devotees chant Om, whether jnanis chant Om, whether yogis chant Om, Om means the absolute truth. For the jnanis it is Brahman, for the yogis it is Paramatma, and for the devotees it is Bhagavan. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So in that sense. So Om is in sense, that is the root of all the Vedic literature, the root is Bhagavan himself. It is non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or it is non-different from the Supreme Absolute Truth, to be more precise. Because for devotees it is Personality of Godhead, for others it is Paramatma and Brahman in that sense. So then, this Nada and this Om both are in a subtle state. And the Nada and Om cannot be heard or cannot be perceived by people in general. They are only perceived by Bhagavan. Because it is non-different from Bhagavan, or they are only perceived by whose consciousness is in Bhagavan, or whose consciousness is in Brahma Bhuta platform for jnanis and yogis. They only perceive this subtle form of sound, Nada. So an example is given. For example, if somebody is in deep sleep, if some sound comes, how does that person gets up? What is the way that person gets up? Sound only. So I'll tell you one thing. Generally, our existence has three states. Jagruti, Swapna and Sushupti. In the Jagruti state, the 24 elements within our body are active. Our gross body, subtle body and everything is active. Our senses are hearing and speaking and doing some activities, etc. So everything is active. When we get into bed at night, we may not be in deep sleep, but we may be in Sushupti, kind of sleeping and kind of dreaming, etc. etc. In that state, our gross body is in resting state. Our 10 senses are also in resting state. The 5 Jnanendriyas, 5 Karmendriyas, and the supervisor of the 5 Jnanendriyas is our intelligence. It is also in resting. And the supervisor of our 5 Karmendriyas, Prana, it is also in resting. Of course, breathing is going on, but Prana is not performing any external activity. The internal breathing is going on. Prana, 5 Karmendriyas, intelligence, 5 jnanendriyas, and the grass body made up of earth, water, fire, and ether. All these are in resting condition. But mind is active. Because mind is active during that state, mind and ahankara are active during the sapna state, we may go through the state called as dreams. We will get so many dreams. In the dream, we identify ourselves with someone else. I may become a prince, I may become a bird, I may become a parrot, I may become this and that, whatever it is. In that, I do feel that my subtle body is this only, but I identify with the grass, some other grass body. In relation to my body, what are the elements which are in sleeping state now? The 5 jnanendriyas, 5 karmendriyas, intelligence and prana, and also the 5 grass elements are in sleeping state. But I identify with some other body which also made up of all these elements. Because if I identify with a prince body riding on a horse, so I have my body as the prince, that body also jnanendriyas, karmendriyas, they are also active. So in the dream body they are active. So I identify with that body. But mind is creating all these things. They are all happening with the mind. I still in connection with my mind and ahankara. They are active. But when a person goes into deep sleep, the mind and ahankara also goes into sleep. In the deep sleep, actually we forget who we are. We don't think that I'm a so-called brahmachari I'm a so-and-so person in the Chowpatty temple living as a brahmachari here. I forget that completely in the deep sleep. So that is the state of sushupti. But only one element is intact. Even the state of sushupti is soul name. One element, I said element. Chetana. Chetana is still active. Only Chetana is active. Chetana is actually indicative of Vasudeva consciousness. Vasudeva state. If mind is connected to mode of goodness, intelligence is connected to mode of passion, ahankara is connected to mode of ignorance, Chetana is connected to pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva. That's why we say Cheto Darpanam Arjanam. Our Chetana is in contaminated. When we purify all the remaining 23 elements, also we purify the 24th element, then we can actually pursue Paramatma within our heart. That Chetana is directly connection with the Atma and Paramatma. So, this is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, one verse in the third chapter. Indriyani paranyahur indriyabhyo param manaha manasastu para buddhir ya buddhe parasatsuta. Superior to dull grass body are the senses, jnanendriyas and karmendriyas. Superior to the senses are mind. And superior to mind is buddhi. Here buddhi is not intelligence, but buddhi is chetana. And superior to chetana is atma. And superior to atma is paramatma. So it is said that when one is in deep sleep, if some sound comes, the sound is actually heard by Paramatma. Paramatma gives that knowledge to Atma. Atma gives that knowledge to Chetana. And Chetana awakens the mind and ahankara. And then person becomes active and understands there is some sound is happening around. Otherwise in deep sleep we call or we do something, that person is indifferent to all those things. The person who actually hears any sound is Paramatma first. And he gives that information to Atma, then to Chetana, then to the rest of the faculties of the body, rest of the senses. So here it says that this Nada and the Om is pursued by Paramatma or a person is in Shuddha Sattva consciousness. Others cannot understand. Since Brahma is in Shuddha Sattva consciousness, he was revealed with the knowledge of Nada. The Nada was first revealed in the material world to Brahma within his core of heart. So this is how it is explained. Tato akshara samamnaya asrujat bhagavan aja. Then anta ushma. Before that he said that tasai ashum traya varna akarnya brugvadaya. So he says that from that om, which is consisting of 3 syllables A U M, the 3 Vedas are sustained. The 3 Vedas are maintained by the 3 letters of Om, which are the root of the seed of Nada. So, how the Vedas are sustained? Vedas are sustained by Om by having so many qualities. The qualities in the name of the clarity of sound, the qualities in the form of words which indicate the attributes of different people or different objects, and the meanings, and also the gender. Like these are very various qualities of the sound. The nature of the sound indicates a particular person or object's form, attributes, the name, or if it is a word, it will have some meaning. If it is an object, it will have some name, some qualities, and some akara. If it is some word, or if it is some activity, it will have some meaning. The Vedas will be maintained by all these different qualities. And then it is said that, from that Om, there appeared all the variety of alphabets, known as ovals, consonants, semi-ovals, sibilants, and other visarga, etc. All these manifested from Om. And by combining all these alphabets, Lord Brahma manifested the four sections of the Vedas from his four mouths. Rugveda, Yajurveda, Atharvaveda, and Samaveda. So Vedas, though it is transcendental subject matter, but the form of the Vedas is nothing but the alphabets. So the alphabets comes from the Om. And from Om comes from the Nada. Nada is the seed, Om is the root, the alphabets are the trunk, and from the trunk comes all the branches and sub-branches. So we can take the four branches, that is four Vedas, and then eventually so many other sections, etc. So from there on, having created the four Vedas, Srila Vyasadev, of course, that was Brahma. From Brahma, they are coming in the form of Shabda. And for the three Yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, it is heard and remembered and spoken. But at the beginning of Kali Yuga, they need to be compiled. That Vyasadev does every beginning of Kali Yuga, or at the end of every Dwapara Yuga. And the same Vyasadev, in order to retain and propagate the knowledge of the Vedic literature, he kind of gives it to, distributes it to many, many, many disciples. So he gave Rugveda to Paila, Yajurveda to Vaishampayana, Samaveda to Jaimini, Atharvaveda to Sumantu. And Paila, Vaishampayana, Jaimini and Sumantu, in turn, they give different subsections of those Vedas into to their disciples, their grand disciples, like that. It is being preserved now for the entire duration of the Kali Yuga. And of course, these people are great people, they can remember by hearing once. But their disciples and their disciples may not be of so adept at remembering everything. For our benefit, Srila Vyasadev put them everything into the book form also. That is another great service of Vyasadev. And this service will be done by a jiva, an empowered jiva, at the end of every Dwapara Yuga. For example, currently we are in the 28th Chaturyuga. During the 24th Chaturyuga, it was Valmiki who became Vyasa. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, he is the one who compiled all the Vedic literature. In the 25th cycle, it was Shakti who became Vyasa. In the 25 Shakti. 26th is Parashara. And 27th is Jaratkaru. And 28th, the Supreme Lord himself becomes Vyasa and does the tremendous task of compiling all the Vedic literature and giving it to his disciples, etc., etc. Like that, there is Vyasa for every Chaturyuga. So, he gave the four eminent Vedas to four disciples, and similarly, he gave all the Puranas. This is Shruti, the Smruti section, the mainly primarily the Puranas and Itihasas. They were all given to his seven disciples. Vyasadeva also had seven other disciples. Their names are Trayaruni, Kashyapa, Savarni, Akritavarna, Vaishampayana, Harita, and Roma Arshana Sutta. These were the seven disciples who were given the knowledge of Smritis. But somehow or other, by some unexpected situations, Roma Arshana Sutta has to give up his body abruptly, because he could not show proper respect towards Balramji, out of dilemma, etc. All these things happen. So then, who will be the authority on the Puranas? Then Lord Balram empowers Romarshasuta's son, Ugrashravasuta, at the next authority. And that Ugrashravasuta again goes back to Vasudev and he studies under Vasudev and specifically under the six disciples of Vasudev. Trayaruna, Kashyapa, Savarni, Akritavarna and Vaishampayana and Harita. He studies all the Puranas and Itihasas from them for many, many years. And eventually he hears the Bhagavatam from Srila Sukadeva Goswami also. So these are all the gurus of Srila Sudha Goswami. And thus Sudha Goswami is speaking this Bhagavatam now to the sages of Naimi Sharanya. So at the end of this chapter, we will also hear about, in the later portion of the verses, we'll also hear about the Puranas, their divisions, subdivisions, what are the Puranas, who are given the responsibility and what are the Puranas are there, etc. And at the end of this chapter, Sudha Goswami concludes saying that if one listens this narration about the divisions of the Vedas and Puranas, will increase in spiritual strength. Brahma Tejo Vivardhanam. He who ever understands about the tree of the Vedic literature, in order to appreciate how this tree appeared from the seed and then root and then trunk and then the branches and eventually flowers, raw fruit and finally ripened fruit. That was Srimad Bhagavatam. If we want to appreciate ripened fruit, we need to have a little background about all these things. So that's where he mentions about all the Puranas. And he calls everywhere from the beginning till the end, Samhita, 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 etc. And in the 18 Puranas, there are 18 major Puranas, 18 minor Puranas, there is one Purana known as Markandeya Purana. So having heard the name of Markandeya Purana, the sages have got some other idea. You have spoken in the fourth chapter about so many annihilations, Nitya Pralaya, Naimitika Pralaya, Prakritika Pralaya, so many things. And you are also talking about so many Puranas, among them one is Markandeya Purana. We have vaguely heard that Markandeya is the one personality who had witnessed the Pralaya that you have talked about in the fourth chapter. You have told about Pralaya, but we never witnessed. We don't have any practical experience of that Pralaya. But there was one person who had the practical experience of that Pralaya. That was Markandeya Rishi. So can you please speak about Markandeya Rishi? About Markandeya Rishi's experience of that Pralaya. Not about Markandeya Rishi's life history. About Markandeya Rishi's experience of that Pralaya. So in order to explain that, in the next three chapters, Sudha Goswami talks about the circumstances in which Markandeya Rishi experiences that Pralaya at seven times, etc., etc. That's how the next three chapters are being spoken. And finally, three chapters kind of concludes. The summary of entire Bhagavatam is being given and 12th canto is concluded. So this is how the Bhagavatam goes ahead. And this is a brief kind of connection to this verse. And I thought of speaking. And finally, just one word. In Srimad Bhagavatam, especially starting from 3rd canto, all the way up to 12th canto, every canto presents one particular theme. And that canto ends with a case study. The theme of 12th canto is Nirodha, the annihilation. The case study is Markandeya Rishi's experience of annihilation. The 11th canto's concept, the theme is attainment of Mukti by practicing sadhana, Nishkama Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. The case study is the attainment of Mukti by Vasudev and Devaki, the attainment of Mukti by the Yadus. Though the circumstances are externally looks very ghastly, but they all went back to Godhead, whoever Nitisiddha Bhaktas. And some of them are Devatas, they went back to Sarga. And after their tenure is over, the 71 Chaturyugas is over, they will go back to Godhead. So they also attend. That is, case study is being mentioned in that. So like that, every canto has a particular theme to present and a case study to present. It's like that. Thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Bhakta Vrindaki, Jai Hare Krishna.